Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Sai Prakash. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And in the last few days, in fact, for the almost the whole of this week, this divine hamlet has been witnessing such an exceptional shower of divine grace from above. The heaven has been giving and giving. I don't want to say it's been raining cats and dogs. Let me put it this way. It's been raining Ganga and Yamuna every successive night for the last 3-4 days. Prashanti is overflowing all the lanes and bylanes of this township, and in fact this entire town are wet and flowing, and what joy is erupting in the hearts of all the people of this place. In fact, the most beautiful and cherished consequence of this is that the holy river Chitravati is now flowing. Yes, it has been so for the last 2 days, and it is really difficult, dear listeners, to describe how happy each inhabitant of Prashanti feels. Our heart swells with joy as we see this legendary river swelling with water. So many of my colleagues have gone and taken lovely snaps of this stream, and in a day or two we will upload all this on our website, a beautiful photo gallery, so that you too can participate and partake this ananda. I went this morning to the river. I filled my eyes to the full having heard darshan, and my pious mother asked me to offer kumkum, turmeric and break coconuts and offer that coconut water to the goddess. And I did all of this very gladly. And I should tell you, as I was doing this, I could not help but remember that amazing incident from Swami's early years, which Mrs. Vijay Kumari narrates in the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti. One day after the bhajan was over in the morning, a few devotees were sitting around Swami stringing flowers into garlands, and along with them, Swami too was stringing the flowers. And as Mrs. Vijay Kumari writes, no one could equal Swami in that job. I mean, none of the ladies could really match Bhagwan. Swami would make those garlands so thick, so charmingly thick, as she says. And as this was going on, Swami suddenly got up and said, "Come on, come on, Mother Ganga is coming to visit us, come on." And he immediately went near the huge main gate of the Prashanti Mandir, and after opening the gates, Swami stood there at the center with outstretched arms, and he looked at all the devotees and said, "All of you stand back. None of you will go even one inch beyond these outstretched hands of mine. See here, Ganga is rushing." And indeed, that is what was happening with great ferocity. The waters were coming, the waves were rising high, and it seemed as if almost the river was approaching and it is going to submerge everything. It was fuming and frothing and roaring. And when it came near, everyone was very scared. They thought, "Oh my God, she's just going to swallow us." The children especially were very scared. And as the river came near and near, somehow it slowed down and down. And when it came very close to Swami, it became very gentle. And the waters were touching the hem of Swami's robe. Mrs. Vijay Kumari says, except the roaring water, we could not see any trees or shrubs that were there till then. This is something that happened in the 40s, and at that time, 40s and early 50s maybe. And at that time, you didn't have all these buildings around the Prashanti Mandir, so it was all trees and shrubs. But she says, when the waters came, we just could not see anything else. And then, what happened was so beautiful. Swami extended his hands, and he lovingly touched the river. And the moment Swami touched the waters, that stretch of water under his hands immediately became completely serene. But she says the waters that were beyond his outstretched hands, they were frighteningly turbulent, but the waters which touched the Lord, that part of the water was very calm. And at this point, Swami now looked at the devotees and he said, "Hey, go inside. Bring flowers, bring coconuts, bring turmeric powder, bring kumkum, And so all this was brought, and all the devotees, they offered flowers and haldi and kumkum to the goddess. And Swami too broke the coconuts he offered to Mother Ganga. And then finally, keeping his palms on the surface of the river, Swami said, "I am very happy. We all are happy. We are very happy that you came to see us, you came to visit us. Now Ganga, please go back. Ganga, please go back." And so saying, Swami affectionately patted the waves with both his hands, and as if thrilled by his touch, all the fury subsided, you know, whatever little restlessness was there in the waves went, and slowly the waters started receding and receding. And when it was all over, Mrs. Vijay Kumari says, we rubbed our eyes and we gazed in disbelief, because not even a drop of water was to be seen anywhere around. There was no trace of water on the ground. Swami's robe was absolutely dry. It was a mighty surprise. It was as if nothing had happened. No wetness anywhere. Swami's robe was how it was before. And she says how nicely the river halted before Swami, as if a wall was built with its waves. But Swami was still standing, and so all the devotees thought, maybe the river is going to come back. But what happened actually was something even more beautiful. The director of all these marvelous miracles, Bhagwan, laughed out, and Swami then pointed his feet to all the devotees. And there they saw a garland of big jasmine flowers woven around Bhagwan's small cute feet. Swami himself took that garland in his hands. He smelled it. And then he distributed personally the flowers to each and everyone present. And the author says, each jasmine flower was almost the size of a rose and was softer to touch than the cotton. Its sweet fragrance spread in all directions. That jasmine flower was ethereal. It was from the heavens. She says, we reverentially placed those flowers on our closed eyes and then wore them in our hair. We could not understand this miracle, however hard we tried. How could anyone ever understand the mysterious manifestations of divine love and grace? That is Swami. And dear listeners, that is the beauty and glory of this sacred Chitravati. And this is just one instance. How many beautiful pages of Sai Leelas and Mahimas have been scripted by the Lord on the banks of this holy river. How many amazing manifestations has this water been witness to? How many spellbinding materializations have these sands seen? From huge statues of Lord Rama, Lakshmana and Sita to a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, from hot halwa dripping with ghee to aromatic laddus, from idols of Mahalakshmi and Ganapati to japmalas, pendants, talismans, lockets, dollars. Everything has come out of the sands of Chitravati. And how many years, for how many evenings Swami has spent there with the devotees on the sands of this sacred river. For how many thrilling creations the Lord has chosen these sands as the platform. For how many loving interaction sessions Swami has chosen the banks of these waters as his choice of venue. These sands have been the Lord's interview room. They have been the Lord's drawing room. They have been the Lord's welcome room. Standing on these sands, Swami would personally welcome devotees in the early years, in the 40s and 50s. It has been literally the Lord's playground. I cannot help but remember that beautiful stanza from the Suprabhatam.
Chitravati tata vishala सुशांत सौदे तिष्ठन्ति सेवक जनास्तव दर्शनार्थम् आदित्यकान्तिरनुभाति समस्तलोका श्री सत्यसाई भगवन् तव सुप्रभातम्।
चित्रावती तट विशाल सुशांत सौधे, दैट इज द फर्स्ट लाइन ऑफ दिस थर्ड स्टैंजा ऑफ सुप्रभातम एंड इट मीन्स द शोर ऑफ चित्रावती इज अ मैंशन ऑफ पीस एंड लव। Absolutely, it is a mansion of peace and love because the embodiment of peace and love built this mansion of peace and love on those sands. Just like Yamuna was so much part of little Krishna's magic and melody, fun and frolic, Chitravati has seen and experienced what no one has been blessed with. And today, when we see this Chitravati back in flow, the river alive and alluring, swift and serene, one's heart just goes out in gratitude to Swami for making this happen, for flooding Prashanti the whole of this week, for overflowing our hearts with such happiness. And dear listeners, even as we were celebrating this in Prashanti last 2-3 days, what really added so much vigor and fun and color and creativity is what happened yesterday. Yes, the vibrant and vociferous, charged and energetic Ganesha immersion ceremony. And if you are there in Prashanti yesterday, you were truly lucky. What a scene it was. What creativity and what sublimity. What flights of imagination in the adoration of the divine. The boys had come up with amazing chariots, the divine carriers, as we bid farewell to this delightful deity, Lord Ganesha. If one was a huge eagle made by the Sri Satya Sai High Secondary School boys, on top of which sat regally Lord Ganapati. The other was a reindeer cart, complete with Santa Claus, snow and all that. The third was a huge phoenix. And the fourth, a splendid depiction of Lord Ganesha being the deity of the Mooladhara Chakra. So here you had a Maruti Ganesha, a Ganesha to which Lord Hanuman was paying his obeisance, flanked on either side by the Airavat, the celestial elephant. And the list goes on. Ganesha from the super speciality hospital came in a lovely swing. The students from the 10th class brought their Ganesha in a huge boat. The general hospital Ganesha came in a lovely backdrop of dancing Shiva, the glorious Nataraja. And once all these myriad and magnificent carriers arrived into Cyclonthal, into the divine presence, the boys had the chance to circumambulate the mandir with supercharged singing and high-pitched chanting, and after that happened power-packed dancing. Yes, it was really one of the most lively evenings in Prashanti Nilayam. Let me give you a glimpse, just a 2-minute glimpse.
Just as the leader of the crew takes the boat through the perilous seas and gets it to the safety of the shores, Lord Ganesha leads us across this enigmatic ocean of samsara, steering us clear of all obstacles that hinder our progress to the goal. On this auspicious occasion, the Ganas of class 8th and 9th of the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School salute their divine admiral.
So that's how the ceremony went. It was scintillating. There was never a dull moment. And the boys who had worked tirelessly in the last 2-3 days to make these lofty vehicles for Lord Ganesha have no remorse as their masterpieces get destroyed the moment Ganesha marches into the waters. And when I reflect on it, it seems like a fantastic practical lesson of attachment and detachment. until that moment, everyone is so possessed by that chariot. You know, they are beautifying it till the last moment in the afternoon. And in just a couple of hours, it is no more there. It's all over. And no one is sad. Because once they have offered it to the Lord, it is no more theirs. Its purpose is over. They have no more attachment with that expression of art. It is already an offering at His lotus feet. And another beautiful aspect of the Ganesha immersion ceremony is the unity this festival brings, not only among the student community here, but everywhere. Everywhere in India and elsewhere. All of them working solely for Lord's pleasure to do something for the divine. And perhaps it is this collective one-pointed focus on the divine that results in the blossoming of such beautiful creativity. All those spellbinding and huge creations by little children and youngsters were done with absolutely no professional help at all. In fact, I should share with you this. Something happened yesterday morning, really very beautiful. We, the group of students now serving in His institutions in the ashram, also were busy making our chariot for the Lord. And early in the morning yesterday, my colleague Sai Prakash was sketching an elephant. The Mooladhara Ganesha I mentioned to you before was actually ours, and Sai Prakash was drawing the Airavat, the celestial elephant. And as he was painting the eye, Mr. Hariharan, a senior alumnus of Baba's university who had come to our studio yesterday on some work, he saw Sai Prakash so engrossed in that work. In fact, the whole chariot was the brainchild of Sai Prakash. And here he was drawing that eye, and he was lost in that work for the Lord. And slowly that celestial elephant associated with Lord Ganesha was acquiring a lovely form. And it was a very serene morning. There was stillness all around. And as Mr. Hariharan saw Sai Prakash at work and the coming up of this beautiful elephant, something stirred in his heart. Something was spontaneously coming to him from within. And he just could not contain himself. He immediately went into the studio, took the harmonium, and out emerged this lovely composition, a beautiful bhajan adoring our Lord. The Lord to whom the celestial elephant Gajendra called out for help. And when I heard about this sudden inspiration and blessing from Swami, I requested Brother Hariharan to share this experience and this composition. And dear listeners, this is what I'm going to play for you now. But before that, before we lose ourselves reflecting on the glory of Ganesha, for the next 1 hour or so, let us first offer our most loving and prayerful salutations to our most sweet and beloved Lord, Bhagwan Baba. Dear Swami, please ensure that we always experience the love that you are continuously showering on all of us. You are giving, ever giving, whether we realize it or not, acknowledge it or not, whether we are grateful or not. Please bless us so that we always live with this feeling of love. And with this prayer, dear listeners, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. I'm Team Redisize. Wish you the time in the studios now is 9:06. And so let's move on to the second part of the power and the profundity of the Ganesha principle. Last Thursday we discussed about the Ganesha principle, and you heard experiences of my colleagues Arvind and Ganesh. And today I have some more beautiful stories for you, and we start with the experience of Hariharan. And after that we'll move on to Sai Prakash's story. Yes, There's something beautiful that happened with him way back in 1999 in Kodaikanal. And then we'll come to something that happened just 3 years ago in 2010 with Vinod. All of them, such beautiful, powerful lessons concerning the Ganesha principle. So we'll listen to all that today. And also listen to what Bhagwan has said. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. For now, here is the reflections and the fresh experience of Brother Hariharan.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Thank you, Bishu, for calling me this wonderful afternoon where we are going to have Ganesha Visarjana. And I have been here for the last 3 days, and it has been really a great spiritual experience for me. After a long time, I am coming to Ganesh Chaturthi, to Prashant Nilayam, after 3 years gap. And I have a very strange experience. And today morning especially, I had some more strange experiences. Whole night, boys have been working for Ganesha Visarjana. They were making... What was really interesting me was the Bijakshara of Ganesha was prepared. Then suddenly I saw this Airavatam. Yes. That is being prepared beautifully.
Yeah, this is the Ganesha chariot being made by the boys of the Mandir.
Mandir.
The Central Trust and other boys, former students working in the Mandir.
No, what is really amazing me, one thing is the energy level of all the boys. Because I am seeing that none of you slept practically, maybe 2 hours. That's not a big time to sleep. But you are working day full in the office, night full in preparation of this. This is something Swami gives the energy and the love of the boys for Swami. They feel that presence all the time and then they do so much. So when I was watching today morning, CG was drawing the eye of the Sairavatam. Mm-hmm. I had a very strange experience. Generally, different times, different situations, Swami inspires and gives something, some prasad, every time, some song, some thought process, something He gives. And today when I was looking, when CG was drawing the eyes of Sairavatam, I just went a flashback to Gajendra Moksha. So like that I went back. And suddenly I started humming. CG was drawing and he knew I am humming something. Suddenly I told him, CG, I'll just go to studio and then sing. But when I came in the studio and I sat, then that song poured out. The thought was very simple, that I was thinking that Swami has blessed every one of us so much. He has blessed us all in all the directions. There is nothing in death for us. So much He has done for us. Not only He has done for us, even an elephant like Gajendra, He gave His grace. So the words comes, you know, Kariraja Kripalu. Mm-hmm. Generally in bhajans we have traditionally Rama, Krishna, this, that, everything. I don't know, I cannot control because Swami is flowing through this body. So I thought I should take it as prasad, whatever may be, at least for my heart's satisfaction. This song comes like this, because I was thinking, whether it is you or me, or anybody in this world, once we have come to Swami, we feel we have surrendered. Surrender is a very big word. But I was wondering, one thing I know very well, that Swami is taking care of us in all directions. So, the words come, Sharanagata Chintamani. Chintamani, that is, He gives anything and everything for those who have surrendered. But He is giving us whether we are totally surrendered or not. But the terminology is Sharanagata Chintamani. One who gives all the heart's desire is fulfilling. For the person who has surrendered, he doesn't have any desire. So all the more for God it is difficult. What to give? At least if you ask, you give me this, He will give. But if for a man who has surrendered, God will think, if I don't give that, maybe He will be put in trouble. So let me give everything what He requests. So I thought Swami has given every one of us everything. So the words come, Sharanagata Chintamani. Then after that comes, you know, the song goes like this. Sharanagata Chintamani. gives everything. Who is that? Sai Guru Dayalu Hare. Without asking, he is doing so much up there. So he is giving Kripalu Hare, Dayalu Hare. Then it comes, wordings comes like this. Sharanam Bhava Karunamai Guru Deena Dayalu. This is inspired by great saints of ancient yore. They used to use this wording. Sharanam Bhava. I have taken refuge in you, O Lord. Karunamai. Why Karunamai in a song like this? Karuna is feminine gender. So Karunamai cannot be Karunamaya. Sharanam Bhava Karunamaya. Guru Deena Dayalu. You are the Guru Deena Dayala. And you are Deena Dayala not only for human being, even five sensed animal like Gajendra. That's why Kari Raja Kripana. Suddenly early morning, 6 o'clock.
Kari Raja. Kari Raja is elephant.
Kari Raja is, Kari means elephant in Sanskrit.
Gajendra. Kari Raja is Gajendra. Gajendra.
So Gajendra, one who has done even gracing the five sensed animal, elephant. So when I saw that Airavatam being prepared, so this thought flew and then this song came out. Then I thought I should share with my brothers immediately, and it is nice of you to, because this Ganesh Chaturthi celebration time,
yes,
seeing one of the forms of his, and again the clan is Gajendra. So when I thought about that, I got this song. I thought we should share, because Swami is Chintamani for all of us. It's our duty just to surrender our own self so that we don't carry any luggage in our life. Swami says, like, less luggage, more comfort. Means less of human ego will be easy to operate in this world. And this most wonderful Ganesh Chaturthi day, I just want to share with you what thought I get when I see Ganesha beautifully with Pashankusha and Naga Yajnopavita and all those things, and all Sai devotees knows the Ganesha Tattva by himself, that huge stomach representing that he is Hiranyagarbha. The whole world is in his stomach.
Yes.
And the broad forehead represents the intellectual prowess. And the greatest thing is huge ears. It is for wonderful listening.
Shravanam.
Shravanam. And also the trunk which is there. What is there? It can uproot a tree as well as it can pick up the smallest tough grass.
Yes.
So that shows the concentration power. That's why we Sai devotees or Sai students, when they were working, I found when they are doing their office job, they are concentrating in that. When they are doing this type of technical job, they know all about it. Nobody says, I don't know this, I don't know. Because that Ganesh Tattva, I found it is properly represented by our students as well as the devotees who are involved in this activity. So that activity, that concentration power is there. And Ganesha mainly teaches most important thing of sacrifice. Thing of sacrifice. How? He has two tusks, but one he breaks it right, Mahabharata. For elephant, the beauty itself is tusk. Suppose we are asked to shave off our hair, we won't. Or we are asked to, you know, look shabby, we won't. We won't sacrifice anything for anybody. But Ganesha breaks that tusk and start writing Mahabharata. For the sake of the world's goodness, that Mahabharata is there available for, from the Dwapara Yuga till now it is going on, and every one of us knows this is sacrifice done by Ganesha. Because this tusk is the beauty. He is running, instead of tusk breaking, I'll do something else. He can break a tree and then make a pen out of that, start writing. But in that urgency that Vedavyasa is going to tell, he thought tusk is no matter. The material should reach humanity. That is the love of the Lord.
Absolutely.
For humanity. And that is what Swami always did for every one of us. He sacrificed everything for every one of us. He didn't bother that his time, he will get tired, nothing of that sort. For God there is no tiredness. But still, when they take a form, Ganesha in the form of elephant, Swami in the form of Satya Sai Baba. So what they have done, they have given their 24 hours for the love of humanity. That sacrifice, I see the minute aspect of that sacrifice in this Ganesh Chaturthi celebrations, when everyone is sacrificing all their time and doing the most wonderful job, I think we are representing Ganesha and our Swami in the minutest level. And if we can start this way of activities, forgetting our own self, forgetting the time, indirectly we are becoming Kalatita, indirectly we are becoming sacrificial by nature. So it is most wonderful tattva of Ganesha is, I find, the sacrificial nature for the sake of humanity. So many things, Nagayakyobavidinam, we know that it is representing Kundalini Shakti, which we know that Pasha Ankusha, that is for attachment and detachment. And the small mice representing desire should be less in this world. And if the desires are less in the world, then Ganesha has got Modakam. Modakam represent Ananda, bliss.
Yes.
So if human being have to experience bliss, if he has got lots of, if you see the Vahana of Shiva or Subramanya or Devi or anybody, you will find that's all huge. But for us, for Ganesha, it is only mice, smallest. Ganesha is so huge. So we become very big, or we achieve the greatest things, if the desires are very less. And who will have, generally will say, oh, that man looks fat, we will say, he is full of bliss. We say, only somebody looks very lean, we think this man has got too much worries.
Yes.
So Ganesha looks so big, we think he is always in Ananda, because he represents less desire and total bliss by nature. So every human being who worships Ganesha, if he sees the mouse, because it is said when we go to any temple, Shiva's temple, we have to see Shiva through Nandi.
Yes.
And in Ganesha's temple, that mice will be too small. So we have to stand. We should not go in between. We will be behind that. Because so that we have to see to it that when the desire is very less, you can see God.
Amazing.
That is the tattva of Ganesha, and that's what every human being, especially we Swami's devotees, we keep talking of so many things, and all of us are given the highest intellectual capacity by Swami. But in practicality, if we can really, really, really slowly bring down our desires, we will keep experiencing the bliss more and more and more and more. And I am in Puttaparthi experiencing that bliss. It's not because I have little desire. We become desireless in Puttaparthi. This is the advantage of Prashantilayam. Because what desire is there? We are here listening to bhajans, singing bhajans, and talking only about Swami. There is no place where a desire can enter, occupy and activate us. No. Only one desire is there. Keep on listening about Swami. Keep on seeing Swami's form everywhere with every Sai devotee. Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Ram se bada naam ka naam, same way Sai se bada Sai ka naam. We see Sai everywhere. Sai here, Sai there, Sai, Sai everywhere.
Amazing. And in a few moments from now, we will see Sai Kulwanthal reverberating with chants. All the boys would have come with their amazing chariots. I mean, one creation you saw this morning.
Oh,
that was happening.
It's so power.
And I think you'll find dozens of such chariots in the mandir today. It's so interesting that it is on this festival we have such flights of creativity.
Yes, true.
In
true,
boys.
True.
I mean, Ganesha is the source of all knowledge, and you really see that blossoming of creativity during this festival.
Actually, I remember one episode on Ganesh Chaturthi in 2008-2009, when all the chariots Ganesha were brought. Suddenly, I was coming normally. One of the boys came, representing alumni Ganesha. He told, please catch this Purna Kumbham. We are doing something. So I caught it. Then later he told, no sir, you have to offer Purna Kumbham to Swami. I told, what? I'm with Shatanman. No, go change yourself. Then I went and changed. I did know, because only my wife knows where are the dresses. I put a dhoti and wore a pink shawl on top, and many people commented me in different ways. And I sat in front of the Ganesha, which alumni had brought. And Swami came near me, because I am offering Purna Kumbham. It's out of blue, an opportunity with Swami after long gap of years. So I was offering Swami, but Swami was looking at those Ganesha, and I was involved in making of that Ganesha chariot or nothing. It is just that Swami's grace I could offer Purnagong. Swami is telling me, oh, your Ganesha is really beautiful.
Oh my God.
This shows Swami is so gracious. You wouldn't have done anything, but still he wants to give credit to you and he wants to bless you. So he has to talk to you something. For that he creates an opportunity. For that at last minute Purna Kumbha was given in my hand, and then Swami is giving the command to me. Poor boys who did everything, who sweated out day and night for those Ganesha chariot and everything, boys are sitting behind. But the greatness of all the Sai devotees, when Swami talks to one person, they share the ananda. They immediately feel Swami has appreciated our Ganesha. They never think, oh, Swami told Ariyarana, I should have been there in that place, then I would have been blessed. That is the beauty of Sai devotees, that it is, there is nothing called mine and thine here. It is ours. And all the boys were happy when Swami told, your Ganesha looks good.
Yes.
Me Ganeshudu ba chala andanga unnaru. That's what Swami told softly. So one thing is, me means yours. Yours means everyone's only. But he was telling me, but what I learned from this is, when Swami talks to anybody, all of us have got that bliss. That is the modaka what Swami gave on that day to me and
yes.
to us.
Ganesha, you are always holding and giving out to modaka.
Modaka, and Swami gives that ananda to us. And this is the most important. I think Ganesh Tattva for me, it was meant that way in that Ganesh Chaturthi day. I experienced that ananda. My God. From nowhere to you, because Swami Sai Sarvada Panipada.
That's how Ganesha, with Ganesha's blessings, from nobody you can become. He'll make you somebody out of
yeah,
nobody.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Incidentally, I go conduct bhajans in Bangalore, in place that I didn't keep the name at all, but people have kept the name as Sai Ganesh Bhajan only, because we are singing in Ganesh temple Sai Bhajan. People have kept the name that is Sai Ganesh Bhajans, like that they say. I am really, you know, so happy that with Sai always this Ganesha is attached so much. So much. And on this Ganesh Chaturthi Day celebrations, I am very happy to share with you my gratitude to Swami, and thanks to all of you for getting me to studio and to share few minutes thought.
It's our opportunity, sir, to listen to you. And it's so beautiful that you were blessed to receive this lovely composition this morning.
This is the ananda today, Modaka Swami gave me. This is Modaka.
And this is Modaka that we want to share. We want to really share with all. And that's why we requested you to come, and you so willingly condescended to come and share this. I think, thank you so much, sir, for coming to the studios. And let's just give this ananda to as many people as possible. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So that was Mr. Hariharan, an alumnus of Bhagwan's University, who has been blessed with composing many bhajans. They have all been divine inspirations, and one such inspiration happened yesterday during Ganesh immersion ceremony, and you heard that story, how beautiful it is. I cannot help but think how Ganesha, who is the source of all knowledge, all wisdom, all prosperity and all creativity, grants us such wonderful blessings. And Swami always insisted on the worship of Ganesha and adoration of that divine form. But not simple adoration. He always wanted us to understand the inner significance and then do the worship. And you have Ganesha statues in practically every educational institution in Prashanthi Nilayam. In front of the Sri Satyacha Higher Secondary School, there is a huge Ganesha. In the quadrangle of the institute in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus, you have a small Ganesha temple. In front of the hostels, there are Ganeshas, and every student has his own bonding with Ganesha. And as he said, Bhagwan is so attached. Every Sai devotee is in fact so attached to Ganesha, because in every Sai center you have a photo of Bhagwan and also a small idol of Ganesha. You may not have any pictures or statues of any other deity, but you would always have Ganesha, because everything starts from there. He is the god of all auspicious beginnings. And that is how in Prashant Nilayam 2, every student who joins Bhagwan's university has his own connection with Ganesha. And Swami, the divine Sadguru, he ensures that this connection is built. He ensures that boys benefit from this adoration and building this connection with this primordial one. Because he is the Lord, as Bhagwan says, who will remove all obstacles in our life. And you heard Mr. Hariharan experience wherein he saw Sai Prakash doing artwork, and then this beautiful blessing from Ganesha came. There's another very interesting incident which happened again, which concerns Sai Prakash. And this was a time where Sai Prakash was into music. This was art, but this happened in 1999 in Kodaikanal, and he was with his sitar when Bhagwan blessed him with a beautiful Ganesha grace. You should listen to this story.
Yeah, it really was a wonderful day. Actually, it was May 6th, that is the Ishwarama Day, in the year 1999, and we were fortunate enough to be with Swami on that day. Actually, the story started on the previous night. I mean, everything is related and how it all happened, but on the previous evening, that was the 5th of May, Swami was seated down, and then he was having a session with all the ladies sitting on the other side and the boys sitting here in Sai Shruti in Kodaikanal. And suddenly there was water coming down the steps from the first floor. And there was a little bit of panic, and then Swami said, don't worry, it'll all be cleared. And so they had to bring a lot of room heaters. Actually, what had happened was, since there was heavy rain, some of the leaves got stuck in one of the pipes, and that's how the water came down. So there was a little bit of uneasy feeling, and Swami was concerned about where the boys will sleep, because we would sleep right outside Swami's room and in the ground floor. That whole area had become wet. So Swami was asking whether the carpet would be dried up before in night time and all that. And Swami had gone into his room, retired for the day, again came out at night, came out and saw whether all the boys are having enough place to sleep. In fact, he came down and he said, let the boys go into the interview room and take rest at night. So there was a little bit of going up and down and a little bit of unrest on 5th evening. So I was just thinking, you know, on 6th morning, that is Ishwarama Day, why not offer musical offering to Bhagwan as he comes out from his room? That was on May 6th. So in my way of thinking, I thought that will also help to, you know, forget this unpleasant experience of that water coming down the steps and all that. Anyways, we were just happy doing it. We thought, let us offer it to Bhagwan. And some of the elders who were there at that time, they said, see, you don't try to push it and all that. They said, because we don't know in what mood Swami comes out, because previous night there was a lot of, I mean, uneasy feeling because of that water. So I said, we are just ready, sir. We are just ready. If Swami is, go ahead, we will play. So myself and my brother, I was sitting with the sitar and my brother was sitting with tabla. And as Swami just came out, and that is Ishwarama Day, as we all know, and it's a very busy day. As Swami came out from his room, he saw us sitting with the instruments and he was so happy. Very spontaneously Swami said, sitar techava. He was very happy. He said, you have brought a sitar. He said, ha, play, play. Come on, play, he said. So we were extremely happy, and I thought the first song I should play was Ishwarama Priyatanaya, because that is in Raga Ahir Bhairav, and that's a morning raga. So I thought that would be a nice offering on Isharama Day. And so I started playing that. And somebody gave Swami the Thalam. And Swami was playing the Thalam as I was playing the Sitar. And it was going very nicely, and I had prepared one or two songs. Then suddenly Swami looked at me and he said, "Hey, play Rag Hamsadhwani." "Hamsadhwani, why didn't you?" Swami said. And there was one light instrumental piece which I had heard in Rag Hamsadhwani, and I started playing that. Swami said, "Chi, not that. Play Vatapi Ganapatim." So I said, "Swami, I really don't know. This is a Hindustani instrument, sitar, and Vatapi Ganapatim, I'm not familiar, Swami, I have not learnt it." Then Swami said, "What is there? You play." And then he started singing. So as he sang line by line, "Vatapi Ganapatim Bhaje." So I would play that line, I would just follow him on the sitar. And he was with the thalam, he was just giving the beat and he was singing and I was just following. In fact, he sang even the first paragraph. Till about first paragraph Swami came and I was just following line by line, and Swami was very happy and he said, "See, since you played Ganesha's song, I will give you this Ganesha." And he just waved his hand and materialized this beautiful chain. And the surprising part was, you know, it has a small bead along with it. At the base, there is the pendant of Lord Ganesha and there is a small bead. Till date, I have never understood what's the meaning of that bead. But something interesting happened many years later. What happened was, one morning in about, I think this must be 2005 or 2006, when I woke up, I never removed this chain, but when I woke up, that bead had come out. It had got detached from the locket. And I told my parents, "Keep it very safe. See, we can get it fixed with a goldsmith. Just keep it safe." And then when after a few days I wanted to get it fixed again, we went and saw that bead was missing. And there was a lot of searching that was done at home, and we saw all the places under the clothes, in the cupboard, in the safe, in the purse, in this, in that. I remember very clearly my father putting it in a piece of paper, folding it and putting it in his purse. So I said, no, I remember you doing that, you see, in that, it was not there. So we were just wondering where it has gone. In fact, I just prayed to Swami and left it. And nearly 4 to 5 years later, this happened in 2004. And I was having this chain for 4 years after that, till 2008, without the bead. And I had just totally given up on that, because I thought that the purpose of that bead is over. But suddenly one day my mother calls me and she says, "Come quickly home, I have something to tell you." So I went, she said, "This morning I got a strong urge to do Kumkum Abhishekam." And in that Kumkum, which was from the Dashara Kumkum, you know, Dashara, they do Kumkum and Archanam in Mandir and they give that Kumkum as Prasad too. So in that box, when she took the Kumkum out, this bead was found inside.
Wow.
So, after a gap of 4 years, and there's no way somebody would have gone to put it in that. Then, you know, when I really tried to reconnect, those years, 2004, the sitar practice and playing had really come down because of so many commitments in the office and all that. And once more boys joined the office, I got chance to go back to playing sitar and practicing sitar. And Swami gave back that bead.
So that bead was sort of another welcoming sign for you to get back to sitar.
I just think that's the only correlation I can find. It may be absolutely wrong interpretation,
yeah,
but that's just the correlation I found between the bead getting lost and my stopping sitar practice and then starting it back. But this is the wonderful story of how Swami blessed me with this.
He asked you to play something in Ganesha, and then he gave you that blessing, and perhaps in some ways, we can only, as you mentioned, we can only imagine, some ways gave you that strength and that creativity.
That's true. You know, before I leave you, I just want to add one small thing. In 99, Swami had told to play Vatapi Ganapatim, and this is very moving, because when you connect the dots, you see how Swami is blessing each one. When I come back to Parthi, the great musician Mandalin Srinivas, you know, I was just sharing with him that Swami wanted me to learn this Carnatic, and he on a cassette recorded Vatapi Ganapatim in very slow tempo and sent it to me.
Wow.
So I had heard that, and he had actually recorded 2-3 Kritis in a very slow tempo, possibly the slowest he has ever played on his mandolin. So I actually heard that and picked up those 2-3 Kritis. So I just knew it. And in a way of completing the whole story, in 2010, when Swami took us to Delhi and Shimla, 2010, right?
Yes.
In Shimla, what happened was, that was the last day. That was the last day, and then Swami is sitting, and we all boys are sitting, and just a thought came in my mind. I said, Swami, wow, this is fantastic. You brought us telling music group, and because Swami had specially told sitar boy and all that. So I was, we had practiced for music program and all, but the program was so tight that we didn't get a slot to actually perform. So I was just sitting there different time, and I was thinking, Swami, we all came and tomorrow we are leaving back, and we are going to go back without an opportunity to perform for you. Just the thought came, immediately Swami called, hey, Kavi Kumar. Kavi Kumar is actually Srinivasulu.
Yes.
Srinivasulu, sir.
Yes.
Because his father's name is, so Swami called him. And Swami said, now, after this tiffin session, our boys will sing. Actually, there was no slot for
schedule
the program.
Yeah.
There was no scheduled program because Swami was to come here to a few bhajans. Then there was an auditorium inauguration, Balvikas program and all that. So Swami came, Swami just called him and said, now, after this tiffin, our boys should sing and tell that Veena boy to play.
Yeah.
And tell that Veena boy to play. He said, Swami Sitar, tell him to play. And they sang Vatapi Ganapati.
Wow.
that's, you know, after 10 years. After 10 years. So, he had put a challenge, 99,
yes,
that you should learn Vatapi Ganapatim. He heard it again.
He gave you the blessing.
He gave me the blessing, and again, yes, he heard it in 2010.
Wonderful.
So,
circle completes there. And Ganesha keeps coming back to you.
Yeah, that's true. That's
wonderful. True. Thank you so much, Sai Prakash.
Thank you, Vishnu.
Wasn't that wonderful? I mean, the way Bhagavan asks us to do a certain thing, and then he himself blesses us with that strength and that creativity so that he can bless us more. All the time he is constantly giving. He first prepares us so that we can receive. He gives us, and then again he ensures that what comes out of us is a fit offering to him. And that is and the most amazing thing is when you get the chance to actually live with the avatar, when the avatar is there in a physical form, you get to experience this like no one else can. It is so real. And such experiences are there with so many students. There are students who have actually seen Ganesha, Lord Ganesha, and they have walked with him. They have talked with him. They have lived with him. And Sai Prakash is mentioning about the Delhi trip 2010 we had, when he had finally the chance to play Vatapi Ganapatim Bhaje. Swami had asked him to play this in 1999. I was there in 1999. I remember when Bhagwan asked him to play that morning. And it's so amazing when Swami has asked him, after 10 years, he got the chance to actually play that. Swami had given him the chain that time and said, practice. He didn't mention that in the interview, in this conversation. I remember Swami told practice, and that practice found its fulfillment in 2010. And to ensure that his practice continues, Swami gave him that bead in 2008 and gave him another 2 years so that he has more time to practice. And then finally the blessing came in 2010. And as we're talking about this 2010 Delhi trip, there's another experience of another colleague of mine, Vinod. And that concerns the Delhi trip, and it concerns a very beautiful message from Bhagwan, and it is related to Ganesha principle. Let us hear Vinod.
It happened on April 20th, 2010, after Swami returned back from Delhi. It so happened on April 2nd or 3rd, there was a drama that was being staged by the Vrindavan students as a part of their gratitude program.
Yes.
After the program, Swami was looking at me and then smiling. So, I was feeling that Swami was trying to hint something at me. Then I got to know that Swami was going to Delhi. I was also hoping that I can also go along with Swami to document the trip and then have some memorable experience if this could be. So I was praying to Swami, Swami, can you give me some other hint that could be stronger and I can feel that I will be joining you on board. So I was thinking if Swami sees or Swami looks at me, he smiles at me, that can be an indication that Swami...
Some sign of further confirmation.
Further confirmation that I'll also be going along with him. It did happen. So I was confident that I'll be going along with Swami to the Delhi trip. But on the final day...
So it did happen. Swami looked at you.
He looked at me, smiled.
Wow.
Eye to eye.
Hmm.
But on the final day when the names were announced, my name was not there. So I was totally depressed. Very heartbroken.
I mean, you were actually sort of... were confirmed in your mind that you're going.
Yes, yes, I'll be going. I was
with the kind of non-verbal communication that happened with Bhagwan.
Yes, 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 yes. I was thinking, yeah, if Swami looks at me, he smiles at me, that is a confirmation that I'll be
going. So you didn't need any other confirmation, you were sure?
No. So this was what was happening, and when the names were announced, my name was not there. So I was feeling terribly depressed, heartbroken that my name is not there. I won't be going to the trip. So no use of for me to coming to Mandir in further days to come. This was just a thought that passed by. Then when one of my...
In these days when you come to Mandir, you feel more sad because you are not part of the trip and there is a lot of arrangements happening for the trip. Swami is calling these boys again and again and all the time you keep feeling that I am not part of that. As a student, yeah.
Yes,
yeah, you have those highs and lows.
And then from the studio, there were three or four of the colleagues who were very close to me, they were going. So that even put me down further.
Yes.
All of them are going and only I was being left out. One of the colleagues, Sai Prakash, he consoled me and then he said, you should try to understand Swami's ways. There could be something much more better which Swami will grant on you. So you need not worry and then be saddened on these things.
Look at the positive side of things.
Try to get the positive side of the things and then try to learn from these experiences. It didn't seem to console me at that point of time. I just heard him and then even I kept silent. Then when Swami was going to the airport, as much as possible I tried avoiding looking at him directly. I was just looking into the camera. It was very evident that Swami was looking at me, he was looking at the camera, but I didn't look at him. I don't know what kind of a feeling that was because Swami didn't select me, so why should I look at him?
It's a mixed feeling of sorrow and, you know, disappointment and you just want that thing to just pass.
The only thought that was still going on in mind was, Swami, you looked at me, you smiled at me, so that was a confirmation that you will be taking me. But why all these things are happening now? I can't understand. So Swami was, even then he was looking and smiling very nicely, even though he was looking tired apparently, but he was smiling nicely. All the things could be seen only on the camera, but I didn't look at him directly. Even when he was going, he was trying to look from the glass as he was leaving. But I just didn't want to have any eye-to-eye contact because that will only further sadden me. Then after Swami's flight took off, I just called up home and then I said that I want to come back home. And then parents were asking, why you want to come back? I said, no, I just want to have a change of place, I just want to have a change of mood or whatever. I didn't tell them what happened. Then I just went home. Parents observed me for 2-3 days. Then they came and asked me, what's the matter with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you behaving little weird? Then I told them whatever had happened and then Dad was trying to speak to me and then console me. Nothing was entering still. Then after some 4 or 5 days, Sai Prakash calls up from Delhi and says that the trip has been extended. Swami will be going to Shimla also. And then Swami will be coming after 3 or 4 more days. Where are you? How are you doing? These are the questions he asked. I just spoke to him casually. Then after that, he told that what all happened in Delhi. And it was very nice to listening to whatever experiences that Sai Prakash was sharing then. But it was not like kind of sinking into me. I was just only hearing it. I was not able to release them. Still I was having that feeling. That night when I was feeling further saddened that why I'm missing all this, why I'm not able to be a part of all this, I was not getting proper sleep. Then next day morning, Father spoke to me. And then he said that you should learn to take things positively in your life. You are staying in such a wonderful place and you talk of spirituality and all. He came and asked me, what is the meaning of spirituality? I said, I may not be correct by whatever I say, but I don't know, whatever you want to tell me, you tell me, I'll listen to it. Then he said, see, when you are saying that you are a spiritual person, whatever comes in your way, you should have the strength to accept it. Then you can be called spiritual. I said, okay, fine. Somewhere something is sinking into me. Then next 3-4 days, as long as I stayed at home, it was nice. I had a nice time last 4 days. Then I came back to Parthi. After Swami came back from airport, he took rest. Of course, he took the aarti in Kulvantol, he took rest. Next day, evening bhajans, he had come. And then Vidam had just concluded and then Ganesha bhajan started. Swami was looking at me. I was trying to avoid, but I couldn't avoid.
Still that feeling
still,
was there.
Still that feeling. Because these 8-9 days, I didn't see him physically. But after when I saw him, those thoughts ran again.
And they came back.
Yeah, they came back. Then when Swami was going on looking at me, I was also trying to just, okay, fine, forget all whatever had happened. And then let us concentrate. Or let us just be in the place and then enjoy the darshan. So Swami was looking and then he just winked his eyes. I felt as though he was calling me. But what struck to me again was, do not think anything on your own. Until Swami physically points his finger at you and then calls or something like that happens.
Because now you get a feeling that you had a lot of imagination before.
Yeah, exactly. You should not imagine. So I didn't get up. The boy beside me tried to get up. Swami said, don't, sit down. And then Swami just looked at me and then shook his head like this, up, upside down.
He's sort of...
calling me.
Yeah, sort of calling you with gestures.
With gestures.
Yeah.
The boy behind me, he got up, he was about to go, Swami said, not you, sit down. And then Swami pointed at me and said, you, come here, with his index finger. Then I went. Swami said a few words, which I couldn't hear then. And then they reduced the volume of the bhajans. And then Swami asked, where were you? I said, Swami, I was here only. Swami asked, you didn't go home? How are parents? I told him, Swami, parents are fine. I went home and came. And then Swami asked about, how are you? He was just inquiring about my being.
Yeah.
I said, Swami, I'm fine. He asked, what did you finish? Where did you study? What did you study? I didn't understand what were these questions at that point of time. But now when I reflect back, I can understand what are they. Then I just gave the answer, Swami, I studied in your institute. I finished my master's in biotechnology. I passed out in 2009. Now I'm working in Radio Sai. What did you study? Where did you study? He was kind of emphasizing on this. What did you study? Where did you study? I repeatedly told the same answers again. Then Swami told, okay, fine. Kurcho. I asked for Pad Namaskar. Kurcho, sit down. I asked for Pad Namaskar. Swami said, take. I took Pad Namaskar and then I got up. Swami was still looking at me. I also looked at him, folded my hands. Swami called me again. And then he asked something which I couldn't make out. Then Swami put his hand around my neck. He just pushed it inside the collar. And then he took out his hand and materialized this chain.
Wow.
This chain is having a pendant of Trimukha Ganesha.
Trimukha Ganesha?
Yeah.
Three?
Yeah. Three-headed Ganesha.
Three-headed Ganesha.
With his trunk facing rightwards. I don't know, there is a significance of trunk facing rightwards and leftwards, but I don't know what exactly that is. But after this pendant was given, Swami said, let it face inwards. So, the pendant will always face inwards. Ganesha will be facing inwards. Only the back is visible to others.
So, that's how you've kept it all the time.
Yes. Ever since he has put it, I've always kept it. Or whenever I remove for any kind of work or something, I'll again put it back this way.
I think that is another very profound message that, you know,
let the God face inwards.
To go inwards. I think perhaps in all these experiences you can understand at so many levels, and perhaps you know, even all of us get into that situations where, you know, we feel so sad about so many things in our life, and the only solution comes when you go inward. You know, when you try to see him inward. Yeah, just like you felt sad for not having this chance of going with Bhagwan to Delhi, someone else, when Bhagwan's physical form was there, felt sad. He didn't get a picture, he didn't get a Padmaskara. And even now, you know, we feel sad that we didn't get a promotion or we didn't get a particular thing we didn't achieve. But ultimately, the whole solace comes from going inward. And I think if you look at the final message that Bhagwan gave, that is so profound in that sense. Every time we have a sorrow in our life, we have a disappointment in our life, all we have to do is
go inward,
and that will take care of your past, present and future. The three-headed Ganesha.
So after Aarti got over, I just called up parents immediately and then told. Mom was the most happiest. I could make out from her voice and then the way she was very happy, the blessings that he had given. Then when I spoke to Dad, and Dad was like kind of giving those reassuring statements. Like, did I not tell you, like, what do you mean by spirituality? Try to accept whatever comes in your way, have the strength, have the courage. Do not be disappointed by whatever things come in your way, and then what you thought something else would happen. All these things. And then I told, okay, stop it now, enough. Whatever had happened has happened.
Yes.
Now I'll try to stay calm and then I'll try to take my life ahead. Then my colleagues, my friends, whoever had seen the pendant, they have, like, I can say they have given different interpretations. So I don't know which one of them to accept, which can I trust and all. So immediately I went to Google and then typed Trimukha Ganesha. Then there it was given, there are several forms of Ganesha with two head, three head, four head, five head and all. Trimukha Ganesha, like, it represents the three gunas. Rajas, Sattva and Tamas. Sattva is supposed to be the equilibrium.
Yes.
And Rajas is supposed to be like anger or jealousy or any kind of extreme quality. And
emotion.
Tamas is other way.
Yeah, the dull qualities.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just contemplating on that and then I felt this Tamas was like how depressed I was, how low I went. And Rajas was like how kind of, yeah, I was angry with Swami.
Yeah, that's the reason why you didn't want to look at him.
Yeah, and I was jealous because all others were going and I didn't go.
Yeah.
And then Sattva was like equilibrium.
Yes.
So I felt that, okay, these three gunas are the representation of the Trimukha Ganesha, the three head. And then Swami had told it, Lopat Tippi Petko.
Yes.
Keep it inwards.
Yes. In that one experience, you had the experience of all the three gunas.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the final message.
Yeah. And then after April 2011 also, when I was just thinking about what all interactions I had with Swami, suddenly I got reminded of these questions. Like, Swami asked, where did you study? What did you study?
Yes.
So, when I was sharing this with my parents, they said, see, possibly Swami would have intended or he wanted you to understand that you have studied in his college.
Yes.
And then you have studied not these academic subjects, but the subject which he wants you to always.
Yes. Exactly.
So, that's how when I look back and contemplate and reflect on this, then I know.
So many beautiful meanings that always come out whenever we reflect on what Bhagwan has told us. Bhagwan used to say, you should study to become steady. So, I mean, that is one meaning. We can never definitely say that this is what it is. You know, this is also what it is. We don't know what are the different things that Bhagwan wanted to convey, because the avatar is like a Sadguru with one particular incident, with one particular moment that he gives us, one magical moment. It has so many lessons for us and to so many people.
Correct.
Even now, even as you're sharing this, probably this will have so many lessons for so many more people.
So many other people.
People will take it in their own way, what it means to them in their own lives. And we all have to just pray to Bhagwan that, you know, he guides us so that we understand these messages and take the import and make our lives more happier and more better. Thank you so much, Vinod, for sharing this.
I thank Swami profusely and wholeheartedly for teaching me this lesson in a very significant way. Thank you, Vishu.
Saram. And I think personally, I mean, that is a lesson for each one of us
who doesn't have highs and lows in his or her life? Who doesn't have some moments of happiness and some moments of sorrow? And so beautifully Swami said, keep it facing inside. Every moment with the avatar is so beautiful, and Swami has taken this beautiful form of Ganesha, of creating this form of Ganesha in the form of pendants and in the form of chains and lockets, and communicated such powerful messages. And you know, when someone asked Swami, Swami, why don't you create every time cucumbers or apples, why you all the time creates rings and chains? And Swami said, in fact, this happened in that interview with Mr. Karanja way back in 1976. Karanja was the editor of the Bliss magazine then. When he asked this question as a journalist and as a skeptic, Swami said, if I give something which is perishable, it is not going to live for more than 2-3 days. A cucumber will rot and is going to be reduced to something that you cannot keep with you. I give this rings and chains and watches so that this remains with you as permanent symbols of my grace. Because when you are in trouble, you hold on to them, you know. This is something symbolic for you to hold on to. And Ganesha is such a powerful symbol of the divine. And Swami has used this, Swami has given this blessing so that, you know, we derive maximum from this powerful deity, Lord Ganesha. And in fact, in one Ganesha Chaturthi discourse in 1994, Swami very powerfully explained how we should celebrate Ganesha Chaturthi and what should be our attitude and what is it that is the only thing that we should cultivate in life, which will always ensure that we are on the right path, and how Ganesha teaches us that lesson. Just listen to this clip. It's a very short 5-minute clip, but has a very profound message, and we'll end with this.
Kanuka manavattvam nunnatundi yokka ee divyatvanni chakkaga visudhikarinchi buddhi siddhula yokka tavattalanu margamalanu prabodhinchetundi yokka tattvamu yokka vinayaka enni maatrame untunnadi.
Only Vinayaka has got that supreme principle of publicizing to mankind what is essential for humans.
Kanuka Vinayaka chautanaga కేవలం కొన్ని విగ్రహాలు చేయటము, ఆ వినాయకుల యొక్క స్వరూపాన్ని నిరూపించటము, అతన్ని ఏదో ఒక విధమైనటువంటి ఆరాధనలో చేసుకోవటము, ఒక 3 దినములు 5 దినములు మన జీవితంలో దాంతో తృప్తిపరచుకోవటం కాదు.
ద సిగ్నిఫికెన్స్ ఆఫ్ గణేశ ఫెస్టివల్ డస్ నాట్ లై ఇన్ మేకింగ్ ఐడల్స్ అండ్ వర్షిపింగ్ దెమ్ అండ్ ప్రీమింగ్ దెమ్.
నీవు నాయకుడు కావాలి, అది వినాయకుడు.
హియర్ ఇస్
యు నాయకుడు కా
Listen and hear and become the master. That is the principle of Ganesha.
Karukane aadhyatmika margamlo kodanu navavida margamunu prabodhistu vachindi.
Spirituality teaches the ninefold wisdom.
Shravanam,
listening.
Kirtanam,
singing.
Vishnu smaranam,
remembering the Lord.
Padasevanam,
serving his feet.
Vandanam,
saluting him.
Dasyam,
serving him.
Sneham,
befriending him.
Atmanivedanam,
surrendering the self to him.
Modatadi shravanam,
first one is hearing.
Antyamadi atmanivedanam,
the last one is surrender the self. And that unfolds everything.
Ee shravanam aneetundi okka kosa.
On the one hand you have hearing.
Atmanivedanam ane maroka kosa.
At the other end you have
ee rendu kosalu madhya lopala undinatundi ve ee garlands.
And this is the thing of
garland. ఈ రెండింటిని మధ్య చేర్చేటప్పుడు అప్పుడు ఇవంతా ఒక గార్లాండ్ మాదిరి తయారవుతుంది.
All the flowers when joined together by listening and surrender, it becomes a beautiful garland.
ఈ మనని నిత్యాస సేవలన్నీ కూడాను మధ్యను చేరినవే కానీ ఈ అంచము ఆది రెండూ చేరినప్పుడే ఇది నిజమైనటువంటి ఒక మాలగా తయారవుతుంది.
A man, a garland becomes a true garland, the garland of wisdom.
అది ప్రతి మానవుని యందు ఉండేటువంటి ఒక మాల.
And that is the garland present in every human.
Talli garbhamunundi,
from the womb of the mother,
janminchunappudu, ఉన్నప్పుడు
కంఠమాలలవేమి
కానరావు.
He does not carry any garland with him.
మంచి ముత్యపు సరు.
He doesn't have jewelry.
మత్తునకును లేవు.
They can't be seen at all.
మేల్మి బంగారు దండ మెడకు లేదు.
There are no golden ornaments around him.
రత్నాల హారము.
There are no string of pearls.
రంతిల్లగా లేదు.
They don't decorate him.
పచ్చల పేళ్లను పొతకలేదు.
There are no green stones at all around him.
ముత్యాల హారము.
There are no jewels at all.
మురిపింపగా లేదు.
They won't delight you.
కలదు.
But
కలదొక్క మాల మీ కంఠమందు.
Around you there is a garland.
పూర్వ జన్మాల కర్మలు పొందుపరచి.
The garland which inherits from the past.
మంచి అయినను చెడుగైన త్రుంచకుండా.
Without minusing good or bad.
బ్రహ్మ మీకిచ్చి పంపును బ్రహ్మమాల.
Lord Brahma gives you that garland of ఎవర్చిన
కంఠమాల.
That is the garland of our destiny.
కంఠమాల.
That is the garland of our destiny.
కంఠమాల.
The garland of our destiny.
అది ఆ కంఠమాల అందరి యందు.
And that garland of destiny.
ఏమిటది? మంచి అయినను చెడుగైనా.
Good or bad.
త్రుంచకుండా.
Without removing.
బ్రహ్మ మీకిచ్చి పంపును బరుమాల.
A heavy garland is given to you. Brahma.
కర్మలన్నీ చేర్చిన కంఠమాల.
The garland which is the consequences of our good and bad deeds.
కనుక మనం మంచిని చెయ్యాలి.
Good we should do.
ఏది చేసినా కానీ అది మనకు కంఠమాలగా తయారవుతుంది.
వాట్ ఎవర్ వి డూ దట్ బికమ్స్ ఎ గార్లాండ్.
ఏ మాలను మీ యందు లేకపోయినప్పటికీ ఈ కర్మల మాల అనేటువంటిది మాత్రం కంఠమందు ఉండాలి.
యూ మే నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ గార్లాండ్ బట్ ద గార్లాండ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ డీడ్స్ యూ విల్ క్యారీ విత్ యూ.
దివ్యాత్మ స్వరూపులు
డివైన్ సోల్స్.
ఇది విఘ్నేశ్వరుని యొక్క ప్రధానమైన సుబోధన.
దిస్ ఈస్ ద నోబుల్ టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ గణేష్.
తన జీవితమే ఒక ఆదర్శమైనటువంటి జీవితము.
హిస్ నోబుల్ హిస్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ హిస్ మెసేజ్.
తన జీవితమే ఒక త్యాగమైనటువంటి జీవితము.
హిస్ లైఫ్ ఇస్ ఎ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ సాక్రిఫైస్.
పురాణములో మనం చక్కగా విచారిస్తే అది పురాణంలోని మనం అలక్ష్యం చేయవచ్చును.
Mythologies may misunderstand and
observe. పురాణాన్ని అలక్ష్యం చేయవచ్చును కానీ ఆదర్శాలను మాత్రం అలక్ష్యం చేయకూడదు.
You may neglect the Puranas, but don't neglect the ideals taught by these mythologies.
Vyasa? భారతాన్ని రాస్తూ కూర్చున్నాడట.
వాల్ రైటింగ్ ద మహాభారత్.
అప్పుడు నీకు సహాయం చేస్తానని వినాయకుడు వెళ్లాడట.
వినాయక వెంట్ ఫార్వర్డ్ టు హెల్ప్ హిమ్.
అయ్యో వినాయక.
ఓ గణేష.
ఎంత దయామయుడు అయ్యా నీవు.
ఓ కంపాషనేట్ వన్.
నాకు చాలా ఉపకారం చేస్తున్నావు.
యూఆర్ హెల్పింగ్ మీ వెరీ మచ్.
అయితే నేను చెప్పినవంతా కూడాను.
Whatever I tell you,
చక్కగా వ్రాయాలి అన్నాడు.
You must write, he said.
అది కండిషన్ పెట్టాడు వ్యాసుడు.
And that is a condition laid down by Vyasa.
వినాయకుడు మాత్రం తక్కువైనటువంటి వాడు కాదు.
గణేష్ వాజ్ నాట్ అవర్ షార్ట్.
అతను కూడా వ్యాసునికి ఒక కండిషన్ పెట్టాడు.
వ్యాస లేట్ డౌన్ కండిషన్ ఫర్
వ్యాస.
వ్యాస,
నా పెన్ను రాస్తుంటే నిలవకూడదు, నిలవకుండా ఉండేటట్టుగా నీకు చెప్పాలి అన్నాడు.
యూ మై డిగ్రీస్ వచ్చేవే. మై పెన్ షుడ్ నాట్ కమ్ టు ఎ స్టాండ్ స్టిల్.
రాస్తూ ఉండినప్పుడు
రైటింగ్ అండ్ రైటింగ్
కలములో ఇంక్ అయిపోయింది, అనగా పెన్ను ఒక ఇరిగిపోయింది.
ద పెన్ ద స్టైలస్ బ్రోక్ డౌన్.
అప్పుడే తాను ఒక దంతమును లాగి ఆ దంతంతో రాస్తూ వచ్చాడట.
గణేష్ టుక్ అవుట్ హిస్ టస్క్ అండ్ బిగాన్ రైటింగ్.
పురాణములని అనుకున్నప్పటికీ
యు మే థింక్ దెమ్ టు బి మైథాలజీస్.
అందుకోసమని ఏక దంతం
ద వన్ టస్క్డ్ వన్ గణేష్ ఐ డిస్క్రైబ్.
అనగా తన కర్మ కార్యము ఎందు కాని కర్మ దీక్ష ఎందు కాని శక్తి త్యాగమునైన చేసేటువంటి వాడు వినాయకుడు అని అది ఆదర్శము.
హి కెన్ మేక్ ఎనీ సాక్రిఫైస్. దట్ ఇస్ ద ఐడలిజం ఆఫ్ గణేష్.
తన దంతమునే లాగి రాయటం పోయిన ఎంత త్యాగం.
వాట్ సాక్రిఫైస్ హి హ్యాడ్ టు ఎక్స్ట్రాక్ట్ ద ట్రూత్.
పురస్కరించుకుని వేదములు న కర్మణ న ప్రజయ ధనేన త్యాగే రైకే అమృతత్వ మానసు. ఆ త్యాగం కంటే అమృతత్వం ఎక్కడుంది?
నాట్ బై వర్క్, నాట్ బై రిచెస్, నాట్ బై ఎనీథింగ్. ఇట్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ బై సాక్రిఫైస్ యు కెన్
హార్ట్. ఈనాటి మానవులకు ప్రేమ త్యాగము రెండు ఉంటే చాలు, జీవితం అంతా సుఖంగా జరిగిపోతుంది.
బట్ ద మోడర్న్ పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ టుడే దే హావ్ ప్రేమ అండ్ త్యాగ, లవ్ అండ్ సాక్రిఫైస్.
భక్తి,
డివోషన్.
ఈ భక్తికి మించినటువంటిది మరొకటి లేదు.
దే నన్ సుపీరియర్ టు
డివోషన్. భగవాన్ సేస్ దేర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ సుపీరియర్ టు డివోషన్. ఇన్ ఫ్యాక్ట్ ఇన్ దిస్ డిస్కోర్స్ ఫర్దర్ స్వామి గోస్ ఆన్ టు talk about Adi Shankara, and he says how Adi Shankara, though he was a great intellect and he composed and wrote commentaries on so many Upanishads, but finally he realized that the best way to reach God, the easiest way to attain the divine, is through the path of bhakti than jnana, the path of devotion than the path of intellectual inquiry. And Bhagavan always stressed, he always made it very simple. He said, just love the Lord, that's all is needed. Just love the Lord the way Lord loves us, unconditionally, incessantly, without any reservations, and with a pure heart. I think that is the essence of Vinayak Chaturthi, that is the essence of every festival that we celebrate, and let us always keep that in mind. And let us pray to Swami that He helps us to cleanse our being so that we have the power to control our senses and purify our heart so that we become pure and we persevere all the time with patience. Only Him and Him and Him alone. With this, dear listeners, it's time to draw the curtains on this Thursday Live from our studios. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you got something out of this program. Please feel free to send us your feedback. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We are grateful to Bhagwan, who is the sole inspiration of everything that we do, is the sole power of everything that we do in Radio Sai, for giving us this beautiful opportunity to be of some service to you. If you have any queries or any suggestions, you are most welcome all the time. So with this, I have to take leave. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu. The time is already 10:10. So please spend your time, spend the rest of your day or night, depending on whichever part of the world you are in, just contemplating on the Lord and His love. Thank you so much. Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam. And as I sign off, you will continue to listen to a drama entitled The Kingdom of God Here and Now. This was presented by the Sai Youth of Orissa in front of Bhagwan on 27th August 2009. So that's what you will hear as this live broadcast from the studios ends. Thank you. Sai Ram.